The fascistic overtones, Stuart Alsop wrote, of the greening of America are obvious to anyone who has seen those forests of arms raised in unison by the revolutionary young or heard their mindless, shouted chants. Professor Reich is certainly a good and kindly man without a fascist bone in his body, Alsop continued, and most of the liberated young he worships are good and kindly too. But surely anyone with a sense of the political realities can smell the danger that these silly, kind, irrational people in their cushioned isolation from reality are bringing upon us all. The danger starts with the universities, but it doesn't end there. That's what makes the mush so scary. No less a socialist icon than Michael Harrington declared Reich's sweeping indictment of modernity, he called it elite existentialism, to have much in common with romantic roots of Nazism. Today, the liberal left's version of the 1960s makes about as much sense as it does to remember Hitler as the man of peace described by Neville Chamberlain. In its passion and pursuits, the new left was little more than an Americanized updating of what we've come to call the European old right. From Easy Rider to JFK, Hollywood has been telling us that if only the forces of reaction hadn't killed their horsed vessels, we would today be living in a better, more just, and more open-minded country. And if only we could rekindle the hope and ambition of those early radicals, what might have been will turn into what could still be. This is the vital lie of the left. Western civilization was saved when the barbarians were defeated, at least temporarily in the early 1970s. We should be not only grateful for our slender victory, but vigilant in securing it for posterity. Such vigilance is impossible without understanding the foundations on which contemporary liberalism stands, and that in turn requires a second look at the 1960s, this time from the top down. For while the radicals in the streets were demanding more power, the progressives already in power were playing their parts as well. It's understandable that the 1960s is viewed as an abrupt change, a turning point in our history, because in many respects the changes were so sudden, and in some cases for the better. But there was also a profound continuity underlying the events of the decade. When Kennedy said that the torch had been passed to a new generation, he was referring in no small part to a new generation of progressives. These men and a few women were dedicated to continuing the projects of Wilson and Roosevelt. When the torch is passed, the runner changes, but the race remains the same. In the chapter that follows, we will show that John F. Kennedy and Lyndon Baines Johnson represented the continuation of the liberal quest begun by Woodrow Wilson and his fellow progressives, the quest to create an all-caring, all-powerful, all-encompassing state, a state that assumes responsibility for every desirable outcome and takes the blame for every setback on the road to utopia, a state that finally replaces God.